Howdy, my friends, and Merry Christmas from me and all of us here at Forte Catholic. We've got a great episode for you here today, a very special Christmas episode. All three of the co-hosts are here. We kick off the show with Allison Sullivan, where we talk about the things that we love and hate about the Christmas season. As is always our Christmas tradition, comedian Aaron Weber joins Father Anthony and I. We have a great and another just hilarious conversation. We love so much having Aaron on the show. And then we close the episode like most of our Christmas days go. We have some fun. We have more fun. And then it ends in a healthy debate. We debate whether or not Mary knew. So I know that listeners of the show have been pretty clear how they feel. Either way, they have strong feelings for whatever reason about the, 30th most popular Christmas song. Everybody has very strong feelings. And Catherine and I land on different sides of the debate and hopefully represent all of you as well as we can. Merry Christmas from me, from all of us here at Forte Catholic. Enjoy today's episode. And welcome to Forte Catholic. I am Taylor Schroll. That is Allison Sullivan. Hi, Allison.
Hello, Taylor Schroll.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
I'm so glad that you are here. Well, we've got it.
Are you?
I am. I think we're going to have a lot more lighthearted episode than we did the last time.
I'm not going to leave mad at you.
Yeah. Well, remains to be seen.
Is it too soon? Yeah, early. Too early to tell.
But we are going to have a happy episode because this is our Christmas episode. Yay! Merry Christmas, Allison.
Merry
Sullivan.
Christmas, Taylor Schroll.
You had a great idea for today's episode.
Was it out of character?
Having an idea, yes.
Oh.
Not having a great idea, but bringing anything to the table for the show, yes.
No, I wanted to talk about the things that we can be grinchy about, because I'm a little grinchy at Christmas. It's true. I have a Grinch mug. My kids know this. So I thought that what better place to talk about the ways I'm grumpy.
Which is so funny, because I'm like, all right, we're kicking off our Christmas episode. What do you want to talk about? You're like, I want to talk about the things I hate for Christmas. And I'm like, all right. That's what we're doing. So we're balancing it out a little bit. We're talking good about the things that we love.
Yes, you bring someone else in for all the sparkles and joy.
Which I think is me, which is usually the opposite.
This is fantastic.
Because I wrote down in my notes app after you texted me last night. You were like, hey, this is what we're going to be doing. And I was like, okay, fine. So I did some show prep for your show prep, which you never reciprocate, but that's fine. So I wrote down.
If only your people knew the truth.
I wrote them in dyads.
Dyads.
So like, this is the thing that I love, and this is also the thing that I hate on the same topic.
I'm
like super prepared.
You're really prepared. Okay.
All right. Grinch. Tell me something you love about Christmas. We're going to start off with you that way.
Uh-huh. I have a daughter whose birthday is Christmas Eve.
Oh, wow.
So there is a lot of festivity around our home that she, I think for the first maybe 4 years of her life, she really thought Christmas was about her. Like that it was a celebration.
I still think it's about me.
But I think that she thought like the Christmas tree was about her. I think she thought, you know, she didn't understand this competition of birthing at the same time as Jesus.
Did she get confused like in April for your other kids that like, y'all didn't love that kid as much as you love her?
Like how come the twinkle lights aren't coming right out for poor Silas? Yeah, it's a good point. So anyways, she has a lot of festivity around. You gripe at me about this. I'm trying to be a good.
It's a stand.
Well,
I realize, but you don't like it.
Look, and then you're like, that's
get
not
your
close
hand
enough.
Off the stand. You're just gripping like you look like we've
I
been
think
on
I'm,
a...
I think I'm doing great every single time. And then you're like,
well, yeah, because don't touch the microphone. Stop touching the microphone.
No, I'm trying to please you. Okay.
Merry Christmas.
Anyways. So my daughter really likes to decorate. And I can feel overwhelmed by my house a lot of times. There's just a lot of people that live in it and they have a lot of socks and other people's messes are cute. And I just don't feel like my messes are cute. And what she does is she kind of insists on this decoration that I end up really loving. I love my house at Christmas time.
Oh, nice. So she helps with it.
And she helps.
That's my middle.
She helps. She gets really into it. Like if I didn't do it myself or if I didn't participate, she would still do it. It wouldn't be like as good, but I just appreciate her initiative. I love her energy around it. And then she ends up being right every time. It's like when I am doing the things that she's asking me to do, she's right. I love my house at Christmas time.
That's great.
Yeah. Lights, trees, ornaments, the like.
It was very funny. Typically, I mean, the adults win arguments in our house. That's just how things go.
Yeah.
My wife lost an argument the other day, and it sounded kind of like this, where she, like, both of us were the adults around the holidays, so we can both be a little frazzled. And she was a little frazzled.
Yeah.
And she kept saying over and over again to our middle daughter, like, stop getting the decorations out. We're not ready. We're not ready.
Right.
And, like, I left. I had to go do something. I was running errands, or I had something that an event to go to that evening. And I came back, and the whole house was decorated. And I was like, oh, you lost. Like, Maggie won the argument because I came home.
Nice.
And like when I left the house, typically how things are done in our house is like we do the tree one day. And then we do like the lights on the tree another day. And then we do like the ornaments of the tree the other day. And then like we'll do the star or the angel or whatever at the top, like a different day. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's typically like around an advent. Like,
sure.
I left and I came back like an hour and a half later and it was done. And I'm like, oh,
yeah,
I like this loss. Yeah. this is very fun. Okay. So things that I love and I hate about Christmas. I don't know if you noticed. This one is kind of for you specifically.
Okay.
And a little redemption, I think, for last episode. Because last episode, every time I looked away, like for the most part, when you and I are recording, like we're looking at each other, but every now and then we'll like look at the camera because we want to be like good YouTubers. We're podcasters, right? But every now and then we want to look at the camera. And every time I looked away at the camera, or if I like got distracted looking outside, every time I looked back, your lips were shinier. Like, you're a ninja. You just kept coming back and back.
A ninja, and lip gloss ninja.
Yeah, I was like, it was.
I like that.
So I think I got some payback. So the thing that I love doing for Christmas is typically around Christmas time, you know, there's going to be a lot of pictures. I don't do a lot of things to, what's the word? Like primp?
Sure.
Primp. And I feel like there's a combination word for that. Like making yourself look nice.
Yeah.
Primp. Primp. I want to say like primp and circumstance, but that's pomp and circumstance. Is there not a like circumstance for primp?
That's a good, great verb.
Okay. Thank you. Passed my SATs. Didn't do well, but I passed.
Might be slang. I don't know. Is it a real word? I'm curious.
I think
now.
So. I don't know.
Go ahead. We all know what you mean.
Okay. I just didn't want to. Never mind. Okay.
You didn't want to cuss accidentally?
It was one letter off from a word I can't say.
It sounds like a cuss word. I agree.
Okay, so I love, I don't often do things to like try to make myself look nice. It just does something I don't care about. But around Christmas time, I'm like, we're going to see family. We're going to see extended family. We're going to be in a lot of pictures. So I went and I got my beard trimmed, which is something I haven't done in a long time. I used to go to this place right down the road. It's like a Hispanic barbershop. I might have mentioned it on the show before.
Yes.
I like taking my half Hispanic son and we would go get our haircuts there and I would get my beard trimmed.
Yes.
And they were very good. And then we went one time and we opened the door and everything was gone.
Oh.
Like legitimately, like it was an empty room. And we're like, what? Well, they got new ownership and I haven't gone back, partially because I've been dealing with this, like the whole idea that I've talked about on the show before. Like I have fully accepted the baldness. I have not accepted the grayness because I never saw the grayness coming because I knew that the baldness would take over before I went gray. But then like my beard is all gray.
Hold on. Are we dying a beard?
No. Absolutely not.
I could have a lot of fun with this.
No.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I'm not like you trying to hide your grace.
For sure.
But I went. I'm surprised you haven't noticed what I'm talking about yet. I have. Okay. I got lip punished. That also sounds like a cuss word, but I don't think it is. I got punished for making fun of your lip gloss.
Yeah.
I got my beard trimmed and usually at me, like, I love how it's faded on the sides. I love how it looks on the sides. He gave me a Mexican stash.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not Mexican. And typically, like on the show, like often on the podcast, yes, we have a video element, but like 90% of our listeners listen on audio only. So every now and then for new listeners, I give context, like I'm a large white man. I don't feel like I have to do that when I'm sitting in your barber chair. Like,
Don't give me an Edgar haircut. Right.
I'm assuming you're not blind because you're working on, you have a knife to my neck. Yeah. So mad. I was so excited to go get like primped up. And like, I do have this rule though. It goes back to when I had hair that you don't ever get a haircut right before you need it. Because if they mess it up,
for sure, a week or two. It's a bummer. Yeah.
So as we're recording this, it's 10 days before Christmas. Hopefully by Christmas, I'll have like there's like an inch gap between my nose and my mustache and I hate it. And no one's ever done it before. So I'm never going back there.
Okay.
I tried the new owners once, and I feel like that man listened to the podcast and was like, oh, you want to talk about lips? Now it's going to be the focal point of your face.
Guess what?
So that's what I love and hate about Christmas.
So what's his name? I'd like to go fist bump him.
I think it's your cousin.
I love it. That's so great. Okay, can I say something I hate? So there is, that was something you love, is primping.
Well, it was the love and hate. I love that. Oh, I love and the primping, yes, and then uh-huh. I hate the
okay,
outcome,
gotcha. I
and
see.
I think it was karma from making fun of your lips.
So there's too much to do. It's completely ironic that we have this sacred calendar that's telling us to slow down and wait and do less. And yet our secular world is saying, no, there's all these people that you have to think of and these parties that you have to go to and these cookies that you should bake if you're going to be a decent human that has children. And there's the meme where it's like the white OJ Bronco and then all of the entourage behind them of cars.
You said white OJ and I pictured it like a Michael Jackson situation.
Oh no. So are you too young to know about the white Bronco? No, surely not. Like I know this what it, is,
but the white Bronco is different than white OJ.
Right. Sorry. White OJ Bronco. And
I was like, wait, that's a different person.
So he's like on open freeway, you know, it's all shut down. It's just him, this white Bronco. And then you've got 10 cars behind him, the mm-hmm. Tim Cop cars. And the white Bronco is named Mom. And the cars chasing is like the electric bill and the class cookies and teacher gifts and all of the things that Mom have to, and they're just chasing you down. So I don't like.
So in this scenario, OJ didn't do it.
Our mom's innocent. No, I think we're not because well, we bring this
you
on ourselves.
You haven't done the things. You haven't cooked the cookie. That's what
we
I'm
have.
Saying.
Yes, we haven't done the things. And we said yes. We said yes that we would do the things. So are we innocent? No, this is of our own making. And I try to set really good boundaries around the holidays. I got really good at this a couple of years when I absolutely like had to, or you know,
when you gave up on
balances
everything.
Yeah, my yeah. like really tip
that's
to
when
dangerous
your Christmases
places.
Were good when yeah. you gave up.
Okay. So, but listen, this is the other part of that. So for me, okay. So I don't like feeling overwhelmed. Now that might mean a crowd. I don't like a crowd. So do you want to know what my personal hell is? It's going to Santa's Wonderland with all of the people in Central Texas. I don't like lines. I don't like malls at Christmas time. Crowds stress me out. Okay, so there's that. I don't like being spread too thin. I don't like too many things on a to-do list. Do you want to know how I think that we should celebrate Christmas? Minus the sickness and death and suffering, COVID. I think quarantine is how we should celebrate Christmas.
You've gone insane.
We should go. You're not allowed to do anything. That's how we are going to prepare for the glory of the Lord. You're not allowed to do anything.
Man,
but
you are
stay
really
home
grinchy.
And pray. Okay, that's what we're going to do. We're going to stay home and pray. That sounds delightful. That sounds so delightful. So delightful, in fact, that you want to know what I did? I took on a TikTok ad that I wouldn't have normally done. I took all of the money from that TikTok ad and I got an Airbnb in Colorado for 2 whole weeks. And our family is hunkering down in Colorado. Don't talk to me. Don't call me. Don't do anything. You want to know what I'm doing?
I'm going to FaceTime you every day.
I'm laying in my bed watching Netflix. That's what I'm doing with my kids. They're all around me like this. And we're just going from one movie to the next. Merry Christmas, friends.
What dates are these? I'm just like,
I'm not telling you.
But like you're going there for Christmas or is it after?
Yeah,
Christmas?
No, it's Christmas.
And you're not telling your family, like your extent, like
I
no
invited,
extended family?
I invited my parents and they didn't want to come. That's what's happening.
I was worried about your mental health during COVID. I haven't
we all
been
were.
Worried about you in a while.
Yeah.
Things
have been going well.
It's back.
It's possible.
You're like, hey, let's go back to the time that I was most broken yeah. and vulnerable let's, and not in a good yeah. place. Let's recreate that. Mm-hmm. You're insane.
No, but I think it's doing it again without, like I said, the sickness and suffering and death. Like, let's go back to, I just want zero expectations of me. I think there's a lot of moms that would agree.
I just think it's hilarious that you're like, I know the solution from my problems. Running from them.
Yes. Hiding out in the woods. Absolutely. Hiding out in the woods and watching some snowfall.
I thought this was going to be a fun little, hey, this is what we love and hate about Christmas. You're like, I'm falling apart and laughing about it. really are the Grinch.
So I hate crowds, and I think that, and to-do lists. I hate crowds and to-do lists, and that I have solved my own problem. I feel like a hero.
I hate crowds and love to-do lists. My entire life is a to-do list. I love checking things off.
Oh, okay. The dopamine rush of, do you write down stuff just to cross it off? Like stuff you already did?
No,
like,
I'll write no,
okay.
No, I'm not insane.
Don't be silly. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
don't be silly. smaller note. So Santa's Wonderland is like our, it's like a, I thought it was just a light show. It used to just be a light show. It's like a mini Disney World
right
here in our town.
You used to pile in the back of a truck and just go do the trail and watch lights.
Right.
And you'd pay $20 for a truck.
Now
they want your firstborn.
Yeah, exactly. We gave it to them. my entire extended family came in. We have avoided it for 8 years. We've lived 8 miles away from it for 8 years.
Right.
And we've avoided it this whole time. I was so worried about, for me, it's crowds. But even like a subsection of crowds is like just sitting and waiting in line and like not
for
moving,
sure.
Especially in a car. If I'm standing and we're talking, it's fine. But if I'm in a car and I could be moving, it really drives me crazy. But
we just park.
We found a, we went early. We took the kids out of school early. Mm-hmm. We went early. We took a shuttle that got us in and out.
That's true.
Like it was way better than I thought it was going
I've
to be.
I've done it well before too. Yeah.
And like it was a great family experience. So like it's one of those things that like I thought I was gonna hate it and I actually ended up.
And then
it
really ended up being okay.
So
yeah.
For me, a little quick one. I have two that are linked. One, I love buying gifts for everybody. Mm. Like I'm at the point now, and I'll get to the second that like we're done buying gifts and I want to keep buying them. Because the negative is getting the credit card bill in January.
Oh, of course.
That's the thing that
very
I hate.
Painful.
I'm just like, but I loved gift giving.
Right.
And it's one of those things that like, I love gift giving, but I'm not the kind of person that's going to do it randomly. Like I'm not really the guy. Like,
you need a reason.
That's really ever been like, you know, like flowers for Valentine's Day or whatever.
Right.
But like March 19th, like, I'm just not the husband that's going to come home and bring you flowers.
Yeah.
Like that's just not, I don't know. It's just, but I really like gift giving when I do it. It's like a binge thing for me. Like around Christmas, I really love doing it. One of the things that I found interesting specifically about this year, I've never had this problem before, but I think, I don't know if it's just because of like, my son gets a lot of hand-me-down stuff. Like mm-hmm. he has a lot of my old stuff and a lot mm-hmm. of that old stuff is like starting to break down. So I want to like replace it.
Yeah.
But so I love buying stuff, especially like my son is just becoming a mini me.
Yes.
So he loves the things that I love. So it's easy for me to pick presents for
Right,
him.
Right. Easy to buy for. That's
and
fun.
This, but I'm just kind of feeling bad that it, like I don't have, I have 1,000 ideas for my son.
Right.
And I don't have a ton for my daughters. Like, but that's, I'm glad I'm married. My wife had a lot of ideas for my daughter. Okay. It worked out. Right.
Yeah.
But part of it now is like, we've picked the presents. We want to be fair. We want to be like, you know, not frugal, but like smart with our money. Right. Like, you know, we can splurge a little bit. But all the stuff that I want to do for myself, like there's so much that I want to do for him that like, one, we either may or may not have the money. And two, if I bought anything else for him, it would like greatly skew.
Right.
Like,
yes. It would
be like Amelia thinking Christmas for her. Like, Chris would think that Christmas is for him. It's in his name, though, whatever.
Yeah.
So that's been kind of a struggle is like this balance between like two good things. It's like I want to buy it for him, but I can't out of one, frugality. And then, really, it's the fantasy thing
limits.
with the girls. So.
Yeah.
That's been a love-hate kind of thing of like, I want to buy it all and I can't buy it all.
And you can't. How do you feel about receiving gifts? Because I would imagine you are the type that just gets yourself the things you want.
Yeah. I am. This is really interesting. I hadn't thought about this before. It's almost the opposite of my giving gifts. Mm-hmm. I receive so many gifts throughout the year constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're a nonprofit. Like we get donations every day, right?
Yeah.
So like we live our lives based on people's gifts.
Yeah.
So it's not a big deal.
Gotcha.
When I get them because I'm so used to receiving them and like being gracious to the people that give us gifts and all this kind of stuff. But like people give us that money, we take a salary, and I just like, there's a new game out. I would like it.
Yes.
You know, or like,
and then yes.
I'm not going to say the presents now, but like, whatever. Like, I want to get my son this present. We got him the present. Like, I mean, like, so there's a balance there of like, I'm just like gracious or grateful all the time. So it's like, you give me another present. I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
And like, it's very silly to me. as adults, because it's just like,
yeah,
we're just exchanging $100. Wouldn't you just like to keep the $100 and get what you want?
Yeah. My husband and I don't get each other gifts. And people think that that's like bizarre, but it's...
My wife and I very...
I don't want it.
Almost never do, because we both like, what do you need throughout the...
Nothing. Like, I don't like, need anything.
I take care of myself, and like, it's part of my role to take care of her. That's right. Part of marriage. And like, hey, do you want this thing? With the exception of this year.
Okay. Because
which I don't know how it's gonna go, and this is coming out after Christmas, so we'll see how it went.
Okay.
I got her a few gifts this year.
Okay.
And I don't know if she got me any, because we typically don't.
Right. So, right. Well, you don't have that expectation, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, it's just fun.
And I'm like, I just bought a new Vidigan the other day. Like, I'm fine.
You know, like, yeah. No, I really love to get gifts if I feel like I'm doing a good job at it. Mm-hmm. If I'm guessing and it's hard, I'm like, oh, this is stressful. And I think it's stressful to open gifts. I don't want a gift. It is whatever of the love languages are, that's the only one I don't have. Mm-hmm. And it's not just that it's last. It's that I don't have it. I actually don't want it. It's fine. Keep it. So my husband and I are very similar this way. And so we just have this really beautiful agreement that let's just put that money either towards, I don't know, like to escaping chip in to reality. Go somewhere. Yes. Yes. Or let's get our kids something else. Like, mm-hmm. I don't, you know, right. So
yeah. Okay. What's something you love about Christmas?
I feel like people are either a Christmas person or an Easter person. I suppose you could be both, but like, I am a,
I think it's called a Christian, but sure. Continue.
But okay. Let's say it this way. Then I feel like one really kind of pulls your heartstrings, one or the other. And
I agree with you, because it's Christmas for me.
It's Christmas.
Oh yeah. Which is so strange. I've thought about this before, mm-hmm. where it's just like, I should be more excited about, mm-hmm. you know, like the resurrection of Jesus. But I think it's 'cause we hear about that all year.
Right.
Like, we talk about Jesus' resurrection all the time. Resurrection. We don't talk about his birth all the time.
Right, right, right.
So like, I don't know. It's like, thanks for becoming a baby and less for dying for my sins.
Right. Okay. Well, I am an Easter person. And there's probably like some personality stuff. Like, you're all about joy, and the show's all about joy.
And you're like, and I'm like, Grinch. Let's talk about the baby being crucified.
Well, I'm like, let's lean into our feelings. Let's be sad. Let's feel it all, you know? And so Easter really gets me. However, I really love the surprise of Christmas, because when Messiah came, this is not how they thought this was going to go down.
Yeah, the resurrection, not surprising at all. We all saw agreed. This man coming back.
Agreed.
From the dead.
But I think that when you think about what was promised to Jerusalem and all of this, you know, that they had this primary task for Messiah when he came. And his arrival was such a surprise. He was so opposite of everything that they expected, that they had for him to do. Like, his to-do list was completely different than their to-do list. And so I love the element of surprise at Christmas. I really like embracing surprise. I love a good surprise, unless it's blurted in my face. That's going to be a funny.
Well, it's also fun. Never mind. I'm not going to bring it up. I'll tell you why it was funny later. Okay.
Okay.
Another thing that I love and hate. I have two more.
Okay.
Two more. I love going to Christmas Mass with my family. And that's not always the case, because, I mean, Mass is mandatory and sometimes you go and sometimes you don't want to go. But I always love going mm-hmm. to Christmas Mass with my mm-hmm, family. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What I don't love ever is being required by the church to go to Mass 2 days in a row. And that's what we have to do this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it.
Yeah. No, I don't either.
I used to be so gung-ho about Days of Obligation. And as I've gotten older, I love a Wednesday Day of Obligation. Mm-hmm. Love it. Mm-hmm. Midweek, I feel like I was just here yesterday.
Yeah.
It's been 18 hours.
I feel that.
Like, I'm good.
Yeah.
As Mark Wahlberg would say, I am prayed up. Like, and most feasts, the church even trained me for this. Most feasts, like throughout the year, they're like, you know, we're just going to move the required. If it falls on a Saturday or a Monday, they're just like, hey, we're moving the feast to Sunday. Mm-hmm. If it falls like Thursday or back, mm-hmm. they're like, you know what? We're going to make it come in the middle of the week.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
I really don't like, especially around the holidays, when you're around family, there's parties. When normal people are around family.
Right.
And like, I just don't like it. Just don't like when they require us to go 2 days in a row.
Well, I might embrace it this year, actually, because I will have been in a cabin in the woods for a really long time. might be like, time to get a little fresh air.
Yeah, it's a novel concept to go see other people over the holiday. It's very strange. Okay, do you have anything else you really want to get off your chest about loving or hating for Christmas? Because I have one more thing.
No, have at it. Okay. I'm curious. I really feel like you understood the assignment here.
We'll close with this one then.
Okay.
I love, this is kind of an advent into Christmas because you and I are still finishing
yes.
our advent.
Yes.
I love, 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 kind of connects with the last one. Shorter masses during advent because no Gloria.
Yeah.
I just, it's great. Like, yeah. We've been getting in and out of mass on Saturday evening mm-hmm. in like 47 mm-hmm. minutes. Oh, mm-hmm. it's beautiful.
Yeah.
No Gloria. We just get right into it, right into the readings. Love it. It's like the Gloria. It's there every Sunday. You get kind of tired of it. Then the thing that I love is like both on Easter and Christmas, or I guess it's, you know, like right around Easter and Holy Week and Christmas, it comes back.
Yeah.
And it brings me so much joy.
That's great.
It brings me so much joy.
That's lovely.
It's these perfect little pauses yeah. that I just
to
love.
To be with that, like, and then
it's just incredible. So yeah. I'm looking forward to hearing it once, just not 2 days in a row.
Fair enough. You like Jesus efficient. I don't begrudge a quick church service either. I think it's great. Yeah, I really do feel there's a lot of sentimentality around Christmas, and that can be beautiful, but also painful. Like, I'm always very aware of people. I don't know. I'm always leaning into emotions, you know this, but I'm always very aware of people that are going without at this time of year too, which feels a little extra painful. So everybody get out there and love one another well, like give gifts, like the giving tree. I love a giving tree.
I love that your response to that feeling is to go to a cabin in Colorado for 2 weeks.
Well, no, but the giving tree, do you like angel tree type stuff? It is so much fun to find a tag of a kid. We've done kids our kids' ages. Did we take a break? I think we took a break from that the last couple of years. We did something different. But anyways, finding a kid your kid's age and then filling is delightful. And my kids get into it too. So that's, I'll add that one.
I liked that as a kid. We haven't done it yet because I already mentioned that money for my own kids is tough. So
yes.
I'm not buying it for other kids. Yeah. They can figure it out.
Yeah. No, I
need to put my kids on the giving tree.
You need to make a pan of brownies and go hand them to a neighbor. Oh, I don't know.
I'm assuming you have a very large pan of brownies in Colorado.
Indeed. Indeed. Multiple. I don't know about the neighbor part, but brownies check.
All right. I'm not sure if you got that joke or not, but I hope you did.
Oh, Lord. Another Taylor joke. That's so tricky.
Okay. I still don't know if you got it because
I'm not even trying. I'm not even trying.
All right. Well, I'm done with you. We're going to move on. You're not coming back. You're going to go leave for your cabin.
Really?
In the
do
woods.
You mean it?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Allison's done. I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Next up is Father Anthony and I's conversation with comedian Aaron Weber. If you've never listened before, he's been our Christmas episode guest for 5 of the last 6 years. We have an absolute blast. It is so funny. One little disclaimer is we talk about some Christmas traditions that you may or may not want your kids around for. So nothing inappropriate, but I think if you're a parent, you're picking up my drift. So we do give some warning for that, but Anthony gives like a 1 minute warning, but we ended up talking about it for like 5 to 10 minutes. So if you have kids around, you might want to hit pause and come back to this one later. Again, nothing inappropriate, just trying to make you not mad at us. All right, enjoy our conversation with the great Aaron Weber. Welcome back to Forte Catholic. I am Taylor Stroll. That is Father Anthony Scirappa. We are joined, like we always are, on our Christmas episode ever since 2018. Comedian Aaron Weber is here. Hello, Aaron.
All right. Has it been that long?
It really has. So
it's wild.
I really enjoy doing the show with you every year. Father Anthony and I look forward to doing it together with you every year. And I want you to know that today you're joining special company. The company that you're joining today, Aaron, involves the names of Tom Hanks, Tina Fey, Drew Barrymore, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Steve Martin, Emma Stone, and now Aaron Weber. Welcome to the Five Timers Club, my friend.
I don't think that's quite what you think it is.
What is that a list of? Is it Is that Epstein's client list that just got leaked?
No. I hope you're not on that. If you did, if you're, you'd be outing yourself there. So the Five Timers Club on SNL, you know, it's the five times hosting, and now you're times being the guest. You're the fifth time being on this show. Comparing this show to, you know, SNL. I mean, it's almost the same thing.
Yeah, two beloved cultural institutions. I'm trying to get to John Goodman numbers, dude. I'm trying to get 13.
Is that how many times he was on?
I think so. A Goodman's dozen. I think that was the joke he made. So, yeah. 8 years from now, I'll be caught up.
I hope we're all still doing what we're doing 8 years from now. Especially Anthony, like his is the most permanent. You know, I hope he's still doing what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah. Something has gone horribly wrong if I'm not wearing this, and then yikes. Yeah.
I was thinking a lot as we were like prepping for this episode, because I was like, we've asked you a lot of questions. You've come on the show once a year for since 2018. And I was like, man, we've asked you a lot of questions. I went through some of the lists. I cannot believe that you keep coming back here. One, every time I text Father Anthony about this, he's like, oh no, this is the year that Aaron's too big for us.
I don't remember anything. You haven't asked anything annoying or anything. I can't remember any. Nothing stands out.
That's because it wasn't me. It was Father Anthony. Literally the first time you came on, like the whole premise of it was like, hey, we're trying to be joyful within Catholicism. Let's bring in the only Catholic comedian that we know. And Anthony just railed about stuff he was mad about for the first time.
You know, well, that's the most comedian thing you can do. Just rant about something for half an hour. Yeah, I'm all on board with that.
Yeah, that's most of my homilies as well. I just yell at everybody.
Oh, I love that, dude. Yeah, do you go now? What's your homily like? Are you reading verbatim off of a script? Are you no notes, or are you just shooting from the hip? I mean, what's the plan up there?
Yeah, it's not quite shooting from the hip. Daily Mass is shooting from the hip. I might hear the homily. I mean, hear the gospel as I'm reading it and come up with something.
That's awesome.
Yeah, for Sundays. I mean, I'll read over the readings. I'll pray over them throughout the week. Usually, like an hour to kind of like solidify what I'm going to say, and then I go up there and we see what happens. That's pretty much it. There's no notes or anything like that. And sometimes that works out for the better, sometimes not so much, but overall people seem to be okay with it. They haven't fired me yet.
Are you worried at all? Is it even a concern about length of the homily? Do you even take that into consideration?
Not at all. Not anymore. I used to freak out about that, but I was like, you know what? We're all here. This is happening. And I think this is my big thing. You know, there's a limit to this, but when people say a homily is too long, what they really mean is the homily is bad. You know, most of the time. Now, you can have an excellent homily. If it goes 20 minutes, people are going to be, you know, ticked off at you probably.
Right.
So as long as I try to put some effort to it, make it good, then I haven't gotten complaints about the length of the homily since I first started, my first like year or two.
I exist. Yeah. You've gotten it more recently.
Yeah. You criticize everything I do. You don't count.
That's so funny that you gave an example of a homily that's too long, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I love that because I have, you know, my friends will talk about, man, somebody he preached for an hour and a half. I'm like, what are y'all doing in there? I don't want to see Dave Chappelle for an hour and a half.
It's too long.
Let alone some dude in a suit.
Right.
Just a guy named Dave.
Yes, exactly. I mean, the Pope, you'd be like, I don't want an hour and a half. Like, come on. Mm-hmm. The Sermon on the Mount was probably 12 minutes.
Yeah, max.
Had to have been, or else you start walking people.
Yeah.
Rough. So, Aaron, we this is our Christmas episode. We all just celebrated Christmas, and I heard you talking about Christmas on the Nate Land podcast that you're on with Nate Marcotte and a few other friends. I heard that you talking about Christmas Mass and some of your experiences with Christmas Mass. And anytime you mention Catholicism on the show, they're all like, everybody on the show is a Christian, practicing Christian. And they always kind of poke fun at you at being Catholic. And then, okay, that's fine. We're all friends here, right? Sure. But you mentioned that they asked if you'd ever had fun at Christmas Mass. Like, was it fun going late? And you said, no, I've never had fun at Mass. It's not what it's for. So I just, and then y'all moved on.
Yes.
Then y'all moved on. So I just want to give you a chance to, what do you think Mass is for then?
You go because you're supposed to go.
Hey, there you go. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I think there are two kind of, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but there are two mistakes people make. People will say, and I've heard politicians say this, like, I go because it makes me feel good. And you're like, well, that's not a good reason. And the other one is, I go because I like have fun. And you're like, have fun. That's such a disconnect. I see, you know, I did a tour of mega churches years ago with John Chris, and we go into these churches and it's just, you know, they have like the stage production value and it just, it's like a concert. And that's just so far from what, you know, growing up Catholic church was about, that it was never about that. It was, you don't go to have fun. If you're having fun, it's like, what do you, you know, you go because you're supposed to go. And you can get things out of it, of course, but it's like you're not going to have a good time.
Yeah. There's first of all, congratulations on the two most Catholic answers we've heard on the show in a long time. Do you have fun at Mass? No. I'm angry you asked about it. And do you go because you're supposed to? What are we even talking about? Like, what are these? I love it. I love both those things. And also, like, you know, even, I mean, some of these mega churches are pretty impressive, but like, if you want to have fun, there's better ways to do it
than for sure.
Go to church. I mean, it's great if it's enjoyable, but like there's other stuff to do.
Well, I think it's a hard sell because I think for something to be cool, definitionally, it has to be sort of countercultural, anti-institution, you know. So marketing the church is something that's cool. I'm just like, well, I'm not going to buy that. And I bet there are a lot of people out there that don't buy that at all. You almost make a stronger case being like, yeah, this isn't cool. It's not supposed to be cool.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a stronger argument for people. I don't know. It's just, I got pretty fed up with it after a while. It was just, and there's nothing, I don't know. There's nothing wrong with it, whatever. I don't know what I'm talking about, but you know, just growing up the way that I did, it just felt so off and so weird to me.
By that logic, should we make the rest of this should just be as boring as possible then, yeah?
Well, that's what I'm doing my part so far.
So part of this tradition of the three of us gathering together on Christmas is to, you know, riff and rant about things. But an added part of this tradition that Aaron didn't know about until I mentioned it right before we came on the air was that what happens often is that the three of us get together once a year on Zoom, but then Anthony and I see each other in person once a year. And like, we save whatever Aaron Weber's newest special is and we watch it or listen to it together.
Oh, wow.
So like we listen to your original Spotify, the audio special Shirts and Skins. We listened to that together. But then this one was a big year for you. You went on Comedy Central
and had
a special. We listened to it together. So congratulations on that.
Thanks, man. It was all because of this.
Oh, I took credit for it. Yeah, absolutely.
I wouldn't believe you. And I know you're joking, but I have to say there was an amount of pride, but also some questions that came up. But because on this show 1 year ago, we were closing up, and one of the nicest things you've ever done, we were closing the thing, and you were like, "Hey, let me share one more story," and it's one of my favorite stories ever shared on this show about your experience with a homeless man outside of the comedy club that you always go to, and the grins that popped up on me and Father Anthony's face when we're watching you tell that story on Comedy Central. We heard it first 6 months before right here. I felt so special.
Hey, thank you, man. This is where it all started. I think that was the first. I was just starting to think about telling that as a joke on stage. Or maybe I told it once or something before. But then, I told it to you guys. I remember thinking, all right, they're laughing. That's got something there. Pretty quickly, I taped that and put it on open with it, too, if I remember. Maybe first or second joke.
Yeah.
But I like that joke a lot.
It was fun. Like, and what's fun is like I've told that story to like friends, like just people, like not just on the, like I'll be like at dinner parties, be like, "Hey, I heard this funny story about a homeless guy."
Thanks, man.
My follow-up question was going to be, like I felt proud, but also I felt a little duped. I was like, oh, he'd been working on this for forever, but I feel special again that it was the first or second time that you shared it.
Yeah. No, it's just about, I bet if you watched it and compared it, I mean, I'm telling it a little bit differently, I bet, because it had just happened. But yeah, man. I mean, I think about the stuff I say ahead of time. I'm a little bit like Father Anthony doing a homily. You know, I give it like 5 minutes and then I just go up there and just go.
Yeah, don't let him dupe you. You know, we've done a few roasts of Father Anthony's homilies here on the show. Don't let him try to dupe you that he prepares for these things.
Okay.
I prepare. I'm just not very good. That's the sad thing. It's my job and I'm not good at it. I'm stuck here.
Everybody's stuck. They can't get out of it. You can't get out of it. Right. Good old Catholic Church institutions.
We all suffer together. That's Catholicism. There you go.
So I have a question for Aaron, because I was thinking about that. Yep. There's another experience that I had that I haven't shared with either of you. Usually it's just like, oh, me and Father Anthony watch it or listen to it together. But for the first time, I got to share my love of stand-up comedy with my son. I have a 10-year-old, and he's nice. Never really gotten to watch stand-up comedy because most stand-up comedy a 10-year-old can't watch. But then, you know, you're part of this Nateland podcast, and y'all did this Nateland showcase where I thought it was really cool. The way I learned about Nate Bargatze was from, like, it was on a showcase where everybody got to do like a 25, 30-minute stand-up thing called The Stand-Ups on Netflix years and years ago. And I thought it was really cool that he's giving back now that he's this, you know, this big name, and he's helping other people kind of come up. But the cool thing about that is that it was clean, like just like you, just like Nate, like it was all these clean people. So we got to watch all of these stand-ups, like my son, we got to watch it once a week. We sat there and there were two things, a compliment from my 10-year-old for each of you. One, to get him, to convince him that we were going to watch this together. Yeah. I was like, hey, this is my buddy. Aaron Weber is going to be on this one. I get to talk to him once a year on our Christmas episode of the podcast. He's like, I don't care at all. He didn't care at all about what I said. But when I told him that Father Anthony thinks this guy is funny, he was like, let's watch it. Let's watch it. Let's watch it.
All right.
So that's the compliment for Father Anthony. The compliment for you is we watched this whole showcase. And there were the three co-hosts of the Nateland were all of the like hosts of the show, including yourself. And then there are all these other comedians. He loved you. My 10-year-old loved.
Oh, that's great.
Everything about you. So it was just a really cool experience for me. So yeah, tell us a little bit about how you felt about that showcase.
Yeah. That's a lot of fun to do. That's what Nate wants, to produce content and make stuff that kind of fit his sensibility, his brand of clean humor, which I've always taken as it's not for kids, but you can have the kids around.
Sure.
You know, then and we started the podcast. That was kind of the intention. I listen to a lot of comedians podcasts. And if I had kids, I would not want to put it on when they're in the car, you know. So that was sort of the goal, is to make something that the adults will find entertaining and even some kids might find entertaining. But either way, you're not going to mind leaving it around them. So that was sort of Nate's idea with this showcase. He's like, I want to put some content out, let people do some sets that kind of fit my brand of stand-up. So I got to host a couple episodes. I think we did it in one night, but it was a couple episodes. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I think we're going to do more of those. And Nate's going to keep putting out content on his YouTube. I think there's a real, I don't know what the word for it is. There's a real space to be filled for that in comedy. Mm-hmm. And Nate's doing his best to fill that. So it's cool to be a part of it.
You know, that's really important, being aware of like not like your direct audience, but other people who will be listening. It's not for kids, because so disclaimer right now, if kids are listening to the podcast, fast forward like a minute, because I, you know, was doing a podcast with my buddy, a priest, and we just kind of flippantly talked about how isn't real. Like, as just like a lot of like, you know, moms and family, like they listen to this in the car.
I was so mad.
So many people were so mad at us. We didn't even think about it. So it's important to have that awareness.
That's what we do on the podcast too. We talk about Santa in that way, just in case, you know, because we have people write in to be, I listened to this with my 7-year-old or 8-year-old or something. So you never know who's listening in the background.
Have either of you ever, I guess Anthony just shared about it, but Have you ever ruined it for somebody? I ruined it for a kid. I was sitting in a Mexican restaurant in San Antonio. I was in college, and it wasn't the first time or the last time being loud got me in trouble, but I was talking about it with a friend of mine. I was preparing to get married. She was preparing to get married. And we were talking about how are we going to deal with whenever we become parents, you know? And, I just yelled out, you know, it's not real. And this little kid, and we were in a booth, this little kid that I didn't realize was there stood up and then looked at me. And I'm like, oh, no, the mom was so mad. So at least Anthony had some distance from his. You ever ruined it for a kid, Aaron? Yeah.
You kind of look like Santa if he quit being Santa. Like you moved on to other things. No, I've never done that. I remember how it was ruined to me. I remember my sister told me, she said, you know, whatever. And I go, well, okay. Well, that's kind of a bummer, but Easter Bunny's still.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Easter Bunny and Tooth Fairy, those are right. Yeah, obviously. The
far more reasonable characters in this pantheon. Easter Bunny, far more reasonable than Santa.
They probably are. Yeah, if you think about just the sheer math of how many houses Santa would have to visit versus the number that the Easter Bunny would visit. And I think I did the math at one point. And yeah, the Easter Bunny is a little more plausible. Yeah, so I was like, I held on to that for maybe a little longer than I should have, already knowing the truth about Santa.
You just made me think of a question I've never thought about before. Which one of those two visits more non-Christian families? I think it's pretty even. Santa or the Easter Bunny for non-Christian family. The replacement Jesuses.
Yeah. Man, I need to find, I have this typed up somewhere.
Why?
Because I did look into this.
Why?
Because I think this is some of the deep background for the Nate Land podcast. I think at some point I thought we were going to talk about this on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And then I realized we're not going to talk about it.
It's not worth talking about. So we'll do it here.
Right? Oh. Yeah. So I have that somewhere. I should have pulled that up. But yeah. I think I look at just the numbers. Way more people, Santa visits way more people than the Easter mm-hmm. Bunny. And also, the Easter Bunny's not eating cookies when he gets there, mm-hmm. right? There's also no discussion of how the Easter Bunny gets in the house. That's never talked about, right?
Yeah, Santa's got like much more like production value. He's got this whole operation going on, but the Easter Bunny has far more skill. Santa just places the presents under the tree easy.
Oh.
The Easter Bunny has to hide stuff. For every place he visits, he has to
That's
be clever
true. I didn't
about
think
it.
About that. That might balance out the time spent in each house. Mm-hmm. He has to hide stuff. Okay, yeah, but he's got everything in sort of prearranged baskets, so that's probably easier.
Okay, there's
just
that
to standardize the process there a bit. Yeah, right.
It's easier to litter than put things pleasantly under
that's
a tree.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't realize
we're getting into it today.
I didn't realize you had prepped on that. I'm also like, I'm currently sweating because I realize I'm literally telling the story about being loud and ruining Santa for other people. And I just realized my kids are here and they heard me say stuff. So who knows? The end of this podcast might not go swell for me.
No. You'll be all right. Just tell them you're playing along with me.
Just having jokes.
It's all Father Anthony's fault.
You say, I had to talk to this non-believer on a podcast. And I had to play along. Had to play along with him.
A non-believer and a comedian. His name was Aaron. Okay. I had a question as I was, you know, we were getting ready for this.
Sure.
And there's levels to this, right? But I would imagine that all of us have a similar experience of varying degrees. Father Anthony, as a priest, like people go and they hear him preach well or not well, depending on how well he prepared. But like, he's a known person, both because of his podcast, but also like in the parish. So people feel like they know him, right? Uh-huh. Like he's told stories before of people approaching him being like, we have no relationship. Like, how are you just coming up and yelling at me about this? But then I was thinking about like, there's a lot of people that like listen to this podcast that like, maybe I'll interact with some people through DMs and stuff. But even that's like a minute percentage of where people feel like they have a relationship with me. And they'll like, when people kind of get it, like if they get me and what we're doing here, they're being nice about it, but then I'll have people come up and say mean things to me, like we're friends. And like, I've never met them, but I was thinking about that with you. It's like, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. I love that we get together once a year. It's one of my favorite favorite traditions that we have here on the show. But like, I spend hours with you a week on the podcast. Like we Anthony and I like watch this stuff together. Like you're part of our life for a lot longer than the 30 minutes that we spend. So it's always this thing of like, I don't want to feel too familiar, but I don't want to feel like dismissive either. But like, So I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Like how like you're, you know, famous and getting more famous every year. It's going very well. Like, how do you deal with like people like me or other people that are fans of yours that interact with you, but you're like, I don't know who you are.
Yeah. I think it's all great. It's never like, don't ever feel like it should never be awkward for the person you're talking. They're putting their private life out there in public, right? They're the ones doing it. So, and they're doing it with the intention of people listening and people getting engaged. So don't ever feel awkward about it. I have to remind myself sometimes. I've met comedians who I've listened to their podcast for years, hundreds and hundreds of hours. And then I meet them and I want to be like, how's your wife doing? Like, I know their whole family dynamic. Right, yeah. I know they're thinking about having kids or something. I know that they were in Pittsburgh last weekend, but I have to remind myself, I don't know that person in real life. This is the first interaction I've had, but it should if people do that to me, and it'll happen a little bit after shows, people ask me like, how's Lucy or something like that? Or how are the new cats or stuff that I've talked about on the podcast, but I put it out there. Like I know what I'm doing and I hope I don't ever make them feel awkward for doing that. That's all part of it. The fact that anybody cares enough to listen to something and remember it and then reference it later. It's like, that's what you want when you put stuff out into the world, you know? So I love it. And I've done it before. I've done it. Man, I'm trying to think this guy, Paul Verzi's a comedian I liked. And I listened to his podcast before I started doing comedy. I would write into his podcast. And I remember he read one of my comments on there. And then fast forward 3-4 years later, I'm in Dallas with him for a weekend. And I hadn't brought it up all weekend. And then the last night of the weekend, we're at Buffalo Wild Wings. And I was just like, hey, dude, I've been following you for you know? But I got to a point where I was comfortable enough to do that. But he was like, oh, great. You should have said something earlier, You know, because it's kind of weird that you're just holding out on this now. I don't know. It's podcasting is an interesting dynamic with people. You know, people really do know you and not just what you create. You know, like there's no like nobody ever walks up after a show and or before a show or sees me at the airport or something and like references a stand-up joke of mine, which might be a testament to my act, but I think it's more a testament to they know me better from the podcast and from like personal stuff.
I want you to tell. That's not true because it's literally how I started this call.
I
called you a nickname that you gave yourself in the Comedy Central.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah, you're right.
And even that, like literally the conversation we're having, even that, I was like, is this going to be weird? I don't know. I'm just going to go for it.
See what happens. No, I have had to stop doing that joke.
Really?
Because it's just the amount of people calling me that after the show.
Oh, good.
And they would no, it's fine when you're doing it. I know you. I'm talking about when I'm trying to get these people to remember my actual name. And then they go, hey, good night, Doug. And then they laugh. And then I go, then they leave. And I go, I don't think they remember my actual
name. Right. I actually thought, like, in the Comedy Central special, I thought it was a really smart way to say your actual name on Comedy Central, because you start with the fake name and then you say, actually, my name is Aaron Weber. I was like, hey, look at him being clever.
I introduce a lot in that joke. That's why I like opening with it. I introduce my actual name. I say it a bunch. And then I say, I'm from Alabama and I live in Tennessee. Those are like the three key facts in that bit. And if I do that up top, then I can reference it later throughout the set. And I don't have to keep reminding people where I'm from and where I live and stuff. So kind of works on two levels there.
I'm glad the two states you've lived in are the two things that you think define you.
Hey, I mean, what else defines us, dude?
True. I don't know. See, let's ask the Catholic priest.
A lot of things. The thing is, like, you are far kinder than I am, Aaron, because when people approach me, it enrages me. Not because of like not because of anything about like the podcast, whatever. It's just like, how dare this layperson even approach me without, you know, my consent? Like I am a very busy person, and you want small talk with me? I could be saving souls at this very moment, and you're going to waste my time. So that's what bothers me about that. Not like the podcast stuff so much.
Yeah, yeah. Father Anthony, you're like that video of the Pope, of people trying to kiss the Pope's ring, and it keeps swatting them away.
Exactly.
You ever see that? Get out of here, dude.
Father, do you have a minute? No. No, I don't.
No, I don't at all.
I'm very important.
What a great story, though. The Pope slapped me. Did y'all see that? I was on the news. That's awesome.
That was great. I would love to get slapped by the Pope. Dude, if I went, you know how good that would be for my career if I got slapped by the Pope on camera?
Should Doug Weber get slapped by the Pope?
Yeah, if I could have one person slap me on camera for my career, I think it'd probably be the Pope. That'd probably be the one. Dalai Lama, it's like, who cares about him, right? The Pope, yeah. If he got a really good open hand.
I want to disagree with you, because the Pope, we know that he slaps some people away. The Dalai Lama is literally known for peace and tranquility. If he slapped you, everybody'd be like, what did he say?
Yeah, there might be some. I don't know if you checked in on the Dalai Lama lately. I would Google him. He's been doing some weird stuff.
Oh. Well,
we don't have to get into it on here.
I have this image of like just Pope Francis just going ham and just beating the crap out of Aaron. And it's the Swiss guard who are trying to pull the Pope off.
Yeah, so that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
dude.
That's what you need. That's the continent right there.
Yeah, I want to get trampled by the Papal Brigade. The Pope and that bubble thing just run me over. Oh, that'd be great.
That'd be great. All right. Well, we were going to do grown-up Christmas list, but we already got Aaron's answer, what he wants for the new year.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know you could wish for that. I will.
Fame in whatever way it comes. That would be the moment where you'd finally decline coming on this podcast. If you get slapped by the Pope or run over by the Pope, you'd be like, I'm too big for this now.
Yeah, I'd have been like, sorry, I'm doing Cardinal Dolan's podcast now. Yeah. I'm doing, what's the word on fire guy?
Bishop Robert Barron.
Yeah. Sorry. I got a residency on his podcast. Y'all are done.
All right. Well, we are done. So thanks for being here. Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas, Father
Anthony. Was that actually the end, or are you cutting it off?
I mean, we've gone long, and I want to let you. I mean, you brought up the Dalai Lama, and I was like, I got to get out of here.
I got a little self-conscious about the timing there. I felt like I made a joke, and then you're like, all right, we got to wrap it up.
So you're a comedian. I wanted you to end on a joke. I was trying to help you out.
Oh, you've been waiting for me. You're like, yeah, I've been waiting on you to get a laugh for a while.
Yeah, we're 28 minutes in. You finally started your jokes, and I was like, let's move it along.
I didn't know it had been that long. Time flies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really does. Unless you want to drop another homeless guy story on us to close out our year.
Oh man, dude, I wish. I was in Brazil for my brother-in-law's wedding. And I was just prime picking for the homeless people out there. I don't speak their language, but I was still giving them money. There was like a 9-year-old kid on the street in Brazil, right when I landed, like within hours of me landing, I'm outside of a bar and kid comes up to me. He's got lollipops. And I know he's selling lollipops for money, right? But I don't speak any Portuguese. So he's just yelling at me. And I don't know what you're talking about. I go, I do not know any of your language. And he grabs the front of my shirt and he pulls me in and he goes, money, 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 money. And I go, okay, I got you right there, dude. I threw him some Brazilian dollars and we got on our way. But I'll keep you up. I'll try to have some more interactions with him and I'll let you know next year, Christmas time.
That young man is going to grow up to be the Pope. And then he's going to
be. He might be. Yeah.
I know that people can listen to you every week on the Nateland podcast. Where can they come see you in person?
Yeah, AaronWeberComedy.com. I got a bunch of tour dates coming up. I'm not coming to Texas anytime soon. I was just out there a few months ago, but I'm going to Columbus, Ohio. I'm going to St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm going to Des Moines, Iowa. I'm going to Chicago. I'm going to Dayton, Ohio, Toledo, Ohio, Sioux Falls, Fargo, North Dakota, and then Dubuque, Iowa. I'm going to all the worst cities in America. So if you can come see me at, I'm just kidding. They're all great. Everywhere's great. And I love everybody and everything's perfect.
I love when you make those jokes and then have to go to those cities 2 months later. You keep getting yourself in this rut.
Well, like, I hate that trashing place. I keep trashing. It's a running joke on the podcast now that I just make fun of Michigan State because we have... I got some ad read and it was like scientists from Harvard, MIT and Michigan State University. And I was like, oh, which one doesn't belong on that list? Like, what are we talking about right now? And it's a running joke. And I keep getting comments like this guy keeps sending anytime Michigan State's in the news. He sends me articles about it. He's like, we're a good school. Anyway, I'm coming there in April. So if you're a Michigan State fan, come on out. We'll debate it live and in person.
That's what you want.
Now I feel like I'm keeping y'all. I'm sorry. I'm just having fun talking.
No, I mean, we could go on forever.
That's
I'm trying to be respectful of your time, so you will come back next
that's
year.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. We've already gone on longer than Father Anthony's longest homily ever.
True. Yeah.
And we had fun and didn't get closer to God. So the exact opposite of what you want from church.
There you go.
Well, Merry Christmas, Aaron. Merry Christmas,
hey,
Father Anthony.
Merry Christmas, thank you all for being here.
All right. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And now the moment you've all been waiting for. We opened up our presents with Allison Sullivan. We had some great family fun times with Father Anthony and Aaron Weber. And now it's time for the point in your Christmas day where all of your relatives are arguing. This is our conversation about whether or not Mary knew. We go through the song. We go through some of the lyrics and answer yes, no, or maybe. To whether Mary knew. I've never heard a nuanced conversation about this song. I only hear people diametrically opposed on the internet. So hopefully this is a little balance for you. Enjoy. You know, I just want to start this segment by saying, happy birthday, Jesus.
Yeah, happy birthday, Jesus.
Hello, Catherine.
Howdy. Howdy, Taylor.
Happy Christmas to Jesus. Happy Christmas to you.
Thank you. You too. I hope it was good.
I really hope so, too, because it's still pending. All right. Yeah. So the last episode that you and I recorded together, you wore a very special shirt, a brand new shirt for you that got you in some, we'll say, murky waters on the internet. What did your shirt say the last time we recorded together?
Mary knew. Gosh, dang it. I got it at Bucky's, of all places. But you know what? This was a first for me, Taylor. I posted it on the Instagrams and then I bowed out. I did not respond to anyone's comments. I just left it. I was like, you know what? I'm just done. Okay. I said what I said, the end. And I didn't even go any further because I knew I was going to talk to you.
I don't believe you.
It's true.
I believe that you didn't comment. I do not believe that you left it alone. And here's why. Because you told me that there was a lot of negativity around this post. And when I went to go look at it, you know what I didn't find? Any negativity. I believe you deleted those comments.
I got them in DMs. And sometimes I don't always make those public. People are so nasty in DMs. You know, they really are.
It's like they're nastier to me in public.
I'm sorry.
I hate you and I want everyone to know about it.
Mine are closeted haters, I guess. I don't know. I feel like I just need to start playing the Taylor Swift. They are closeted
haters. I will agree with you on that.
I feel like I just need to start playing the Taylor Swift song, Haters Gonna Hate, Hate, Hate. I'm just so done, Taylor. I don't care. Like, it's not a salvation issue, so it doesn't really matter.
Here's, you're so done with talking about this song. So on our Christmas episode, I'm going to be the person that disagrees with you about this song. How's that, fine. Catherine?
And maybe we can debate whether Die Hard is a Christmas movie or there's so many things that just, whatever.
Well, is it?
I think it is.
I think it is too. Okay, we're going to start with agreement. We're going to start with agreement. Let's just, we've done it. We've done the Die Hard debate. We ended that debate in happy places with each other. So we started off on a good foot. No one can say we didn't start off on a good foot.
That's right. In this conversation. That's right. Yeah. So I mean, but there's so many things like that that people just like it's the hill they want to die on, and I'm like, I've got bigger hills to die on. That ain't one of them.
Calvary.
That one. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So here's what I want to do. I want to get, we're going to do two things. We're going to get kind of your initial thoughts on the song, because you clearly do not like the one thing that I know from you, you just don't like the song, which is fine. And you think that Mary knew. I like the song. And I don't necessarily think that she knew. I think she's asked a lot of questions, and the answer to one of them is maybe, and the rest is all no. So that's where we're going here. So what we're going to do eventually, because it is Christmas, we're going to read from the part of the infancy narrative of Jesus. We're going to go back to the source. We're going to go to the scriptures, and then we're going to go through the lyrics of this song, and we'll decide together how many of these questions.
This feels like purgatory.
It is. I need you to know. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Catherine.
Merry Christmas.
You wore the shirt ready to discuss this on the last episode that we recorded. And pretty typically, like when you want to talk about something, we talk about it. But this one, I was like, we have to save for the Christmas episode. Because it's like that point in, like, Allison and I, typically what we do on this show around on Christmas is we just have a lot of joy. And then right at the end, we're like, you know, like on Christmas Day, you've been with your family for 3 or 4 days now. And you're like, there's a lot of joy. But by the end of the day, you're like, rah! Like, that's this segment. That's we're essentially simulating funny. Christmas for everybody on this. So okay. But besides the haters and all their mean comments, what are your actual thoughts on this song? Because you clearly, I mean, you bought a shirt enough to want to promote it. So what do you think?
Well, I don't like the song. I can't stand like the way that it's just played. It's not a favorite. Like, it's not catchy. It's not like Oh Holy Night, top one song for me. Definitely.
Top one.
Top one. I was trying to say like top three. It didn't come out right, but most
it's
favorite
just so
song.
Funny because yeah, exactly. Most people are like they'll say like, you know, Catherine Whitaker and Scott Whitaker, you know, Catherine's number one, you know, one of the top two, and she's definitely not two. Like, that's the new way to say that, like, you're my favorite, you know, and you're just top like, one. Nah, top one.
That song, definite favorite. I just not a fan of the melody of how that song goes. So there's that. And I'm allowed to have that opinion about any other Christmas song.
100%. That's part of the part I'm not going to disagree with you on. Yeah. If you just don't like the song and don't like the melody, fine. And I'm not going to do anything to try to convince you, because I don't like songs either.
It's like that Christmas shoes song where he talks about the little boy buys the Christmas shoes. You've heard that song, right?
No.
It's super annoying. Okay. Well, I'll send it to you. But anyway, so it's
don't,
sort of like that.
Don't.
Like, if I will say that if I make it through a Christmas season without hearing that song, I feel like I have hit the jackpot. So as soon as the song comes on the radio, I immediately change it because it just grates on my nerves. The second part is, I mean, I think she knew most of it. I'm not saying that she knew every single thing in there. Like, you can't know that your kid's going to walk on water. I mean, you might think, listen, he's the Messiah. He can probably do anything. But that specific thing, probably not. But for the most part, man, she knew. You don't have an angel appear to you and you get pregnant. And then you're like, yeah, I mean, he's probably not going to save all of salvation. That's ridiculous. Of course she knew that. Like, yeah. So to me, I'm just like, it's just so rhetorical. And I'm not a fan of rhetorical songs. It just drives. Plus, I don't like the whole like, ask a question, you know, did she know it? It's just, I can't stand that song. So all of it.
Sure, that's fine. The part of rhetorical that I'll push back on is I don't think it is, and I think I'm going to try to prove that as we go through the lyrics here in a few minutes. But there's some nuance in some of these questions. Like, the one that I think we can agree on is like, did she know he was going to walk on water? Like, no, she's not a fortune teller. You know what I mean? Like, she didn't know that. But like, I think some of the answers to these questions are yes, some are no, and some are maybe. So I don't think it's rhetorical because, like, if I come on here and I ask you yes or no questions, do you like Silent Night? Yes. Do you like Oh Holy Night? Yes. Do you like Mary Did You Know? Hell no. Like, that's not rhetorical. I'm getting information by asking these questions.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess it's kind of like if someone were to say, did you know that your kids were going to go to A&M? Well, I mean, the likelihood is high. Can I say that definitively that all six of them are going to go there? Well, I mean, I can say that no now because one of them is not there. But and
she's at Houston, who just beat Texas A&M in basketball.
I know. I was excited. Everyone else in my house was not. But I was like, this is a win-win situation. Scott was like, what are you talking about? This is
no,
a win-win.
It's sports. Someone it's a lost. Win-lose situation. Exactly. Okay. Remember earlier when I said that that y'all are my top two Whitakers and you're not number one? Now it's him.
Now it's him. So I guess I just... Well, I'll say this. I feel like there is a tendency to look at scripture and make it so literal. Like, people will read Jesus created the world in 7 days. And they're like, well, then it was a Monday through a Saturday. And then he rested on Sunday. I mean, probably not. But sometimes people read scripture like that. Again, whether you think it's 7 24-hour days or 700 years or whatever, it doesn't, to me, it doesn't really matter. We agree on the main point. So I guess with my impressions of that song, I'm like, the main point is, yeah, she knew most of that stuff or most of it was implied. So the fact that we're asking it, I don't know. It feels a little presumptuous to me. I guess that's why I don't like it.
Okay. That's fine.
You keep saying it's fine, but it's not really fine.
I'm being nice because I think I'm going to destroy you here in a few minutes. So I want to keep you on the call.
Wonderful.
My other thing that I was thinking about, because I mean, you and I talked about, like, I could disagree with you on the song, but I'm not like, we talked about primarily all these people being mean to you. And like, clearly I'm not one of the people in the comments just like, you suck, you idiot. You're like, I'm not like, but I can disagree with you and not be one of those people. Right. But as I was thinking about it and like thinking about like one, like, why are people so mad at this? I just don't, I'll never understand that. Two, I heard as I've been talking to people that there might be some gender, like, I heard that a larger percentage of moms do not like the song and more guys tend to. And like, I don't really know why, but that seems to be an observation that people are making. But then third, I was thinking about like, how do we picture this thing, right? So when you picture the song, and maybe you would rather not picture the song, but for the purposes of this conversation, like, when do you, how do you picture this song being asked to marry? Like, if this song is actually happening, what's like, where and when do you picture this song happening? Does that question make sense?
Yeah, like after someone's asking her, I think after his crucifixion, did you know all these things? Sure. Sort of like, I guess, after your baby's born and then they grow up to be a teenager. People I'll use Travis Kelce as an example. Like, people may ask his mom, did you know that your two boys were going to play professional football? I mean, I think her answer would probably be, did I definitively know that? No. But did they show me signs that they might have extraordinary talent? I mean, her answer would be yes. Particularly if she's being asked, you know, after they're in the NFL, she has the benefit of hindsight. And she'd be like, yeah, I mean, looking back, I probably did know. I just maybe wasn't able to articulate it. So I guess that's the way I always see the song, which is maybe why you hear moms say that they're not as big of a fan of it as men are. I don't know why that is, but that's at least my perspective.
I don't either. But I was thinking maybe there was a, like, because I know that people don't like the song and I've always loved it. So I was like, there has to be some kind of perspective that's just different. Right. So because I was thinking about it and I was like, even with what you said about the Kelces of like, did you know? And it's like, well, no, I didn't know. But looking back, now that I know what I know, looking back, I can see the signs, but you didn't notice there were signs then. And I think that's my argument, right? Of like, I hear it being very, like, I don't picture Mary being a liar because she's a perfect human being, right? So I picture pretty similar. I was picturing an adult Mary, like, after the crucifixion, after all this stuff happens, but still answering the questions honestly. Like, did you know then? And what I hear by then is, and this might be different too. I want, like, and this refines the question a little bit, maybe. So I picture, like, literally at the moment of like the angel Gabriel being there. That's the moment I picture of, okay. Did you know at that moment? Do you picture only that moment, or do you picture like his entire childhood growing up?
I mean, I think what you're saying is you're asking if she knew at the moment that the angel Gabriel asked her. It's a lot to ask of someone. I think when I hear the song, I'm always thinking like someone's asking her in retrospect, like she's an adult Mary, Jesus has been crucified, and someone's asking her, if you look back, did you know these things? I guess I'm not seeing it from the perspective of, you know, she's just been, because let's be honest, angel Gabriel had just come to me. I'd be like, I'm sorry. What just happened here? Did some guy just tell me that I'm about to get pregnant? Because he's crazy. But I said yes, because it sounded like a good thing. Like, I don't think that you would have the wherewithal to answer any question, much less this litany, the song of all these questions. So to me, it, at least when I hear it, I'm always thinking like, oh, they're asking her, looking back, did you know these things?
Looking back at just that moment, or looking back at his entire childhood?
His entire life.
Okay. Because I think like that was kind of like my own introspection this week, as I think that people that don't like the song think like what you're saying. And I never even thought of that being a possibility. And here's how I think, just as a, like, I've been a, like, my biggest way to connect with God is through scripture. So like, mm-hmm. all I have of Jesus, like, is the infancy narrative, and then when he's a teenager, mm-hmm. and then as an adult, right? So in my mind, I'm not filling in the blanks, but maybe that's the gender thing of like mom filling in the blanks of like, y'all are, you know, there what? For every step of the way of
this
them
is
growing
this
up.
Is interesting that you say that, because I'll give you an example. So when our kids graduated from high school and they were moving into college, my husband was not nearly as emotional as I was, because when he looked at our kids, he saw them as 18-year-olds.
He saw when them as bills that were getting out of the house.
Exactly. When moms look at our children, I see the totality of their life.
Right.
Like in one moment, like their whole life. So when they move out of the house, I'm seeing baby Will, toddler Will, adolescent Will, older. This is my older son's name is Will. So I see the totality of his life in a moment, whereas my husband just sees that moment. So I think that might actually be the difference, because if Jesus were my son and I were Mary, I would see the totality of his life. I mean, how could you not see the totality of his life, as opposed to the one moment where he either is born or the one moment that he dies on the cross? So right. It would be impossible for me as a mom to single out a moment in his life, because they would all be interconnected. So my two cents.
No. That makes sense. And I had this sinking feeling that people that, because if you're asking Mary about, did she know the answer to these questions? I think almost unequivocally, because I've always pictured the song as just being like, she's being interviewed about, she's not being interviewed the moment the angel left, but she's being interviewed about the moment that the angel just left. Okay. Does that make sense?
That's fair.
So like, for me, the answer's always been, did you know this? No! How could I possibly know that? I'm a 15-year-old Jewish girl that just had an angel pop into the house. No! To all the questions, right? But I think if you're like, hey, did you know that like he was the Messiah? And it's like, I don't think she knew that immediately. She might have had an inkling at the beginning. But like, after he's 15, okay, like we kind of know now, right? So I think even the answers to the questions of Mary, did you know, change just on like where you think the song is happening.
But I'll tell you, as a woman, I think it's impossible. I don't know. Talk to any woman. I know you only have one in front of you, but maybe women listening to this. I wouldn't be able to just, like, if someone was like, if they were to ask me, hey, Catherine, how did you feel in this particular moment? While I can identify a feeling or a thought, I always see the totality. It's never just that one moment. So I think it would be, I don't want to make some assumptions for Mary here. I think it would be hard. It's hard for me to imagine her looking back on that particular moment and only being able to single it out in that one moment.
Sure.
I think it would be hard. I think she would see the totality, like which is why I have issues with the song.
Yeah. And I think so too. Like I think that it makes sense to me why I think this way, but it also kind of doesn't, because it makes sense to me why I think that it's only this moment, because it's really all that we get from the scriptures. So like, right. I don't just fill in what randomly happens in the scriptures. So I'm not like, oh, on Tuesday they had pawn. Like I'm not doing that. Right.
No, The Chosen does that for you.
Yeah, exactly. Which I don't watch that.
I don't either.
But the other thing is, like, if you ask me how I felt about an event when I was 13, 14, 15, I have no idea. I know how I generally feel about my teenage years. Not good. But, like, I don't. So part of me gets what you're saying. But the other part is, like, I think for, again, if you don't like the song stylistically, fine. But if you hate the song, maybe listen to it the way that the people who like it listen to it, right? Of, like, hey, picture this being the moment after. She's answering questions like the moment after the angel leaves, and just see what happens. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going
to
read.
If I can just ask, don't make me listen to the song on the show.
I'm not going to make you listen on the show, but I am. I am going to give suggested homework for people that don't like the song, because one, hopefully the conversation will at least open your mind to thinking about the lyrics in a different way than you have before, and then two, boy, do I have a singer that just knocks it out of the park, and it's not the same melody that you hate because he's incredible, and then he makes the song his own. Anyway. Homework for later, and that you won't do, but we'll see if anybody else does.
You're correct. I will not listen to it.
You will listen to it while we're drinking boot soda together.
No, okay. I will not. Anyway, go ahead.
Luke chapter 1, verse 26, the announcement of the birth of Jesus. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town called Galilee in Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. She doesn't even understand the hello. So then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have had no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, I'm proving it to you because Elizabeth is pregnant." And she says yes, and that's the end of the story. So, like, she didn't get a ton of information. Like, the angel said four lines to her.
But if you said a word in there, she pondered all these things in her heart.
Correct. Over the next few years.
But I do believe, and I wish I had more background on what pondering meant back then as to what it means today. But to me, I've always read that as that's when she was able to take in what the angel Gabriel told her, and that much of what she felt, it was between her and God. Like, she pondered all those things. And by all the things, I mean, I think that there were special insights that Mary had into the life of Jesus, because when you carry a baby for 9 months, no one knows that baby better than you. I remember someone was telling me that they were sad when they gave birth because that meant that they had to share their baby with the rest of the world. But for 9 months, it was just the two of them. So I think about that with her, like,
I've never heard a woman be more selfish about their own pregnancy.
Well, it is a unique, it is such, this is trying to be meaningful, Taylor, so zip it. What I'm saying is, like, this connection that a mom has with a baby, like, everywhere you go, the baby is with you. Every thought that you have, every feeling, they feel the same thing. And so I think that there are things that happened in that 9-month pregnancy that bonded her to him in a way that we can't understand. I mean, I can understand it in the sense that I've felt that with my own children, but then she shared not just him with, like, the local community, but with the entire, you know, earthly population that was currently alive and that would be alive later. So I think about that, and I think there are things that she pondered that we couldn't possibly understand. So I guess when I hear that song, I always think there's more to the story than just this simple, like, yes and no kind of thing. Like, she knew way more than we will ever know about Jesus because she was his mom. Period. The end.
You wanted me to be serious, but all I could think about is this year you became the host of the Hand to Hold podcast, which deals with a lot of, like, NICU parents of babies in the NICU. And all I could think about was, like, Mary being a guest on your podcast and being like, "Y'all had a whole NICU. I was in a barn." I would just love to hear her story on the NICU podcast, the Hand to Hold NICU podcast.
Although her baby could have healed everyone. So
Great guest. We're hoping for next season. Yeah. Okay, so here's what we're going to do from our differing perspectives of when the song happens. Yes or no? Did she know that her baby boy would one day walk on water? I'm saying no.
Well, okay. Did she know specifically walking on water? Probably not. That's the question.
Yes. Okay. Next question.
Maybe is what okay, I say. Okay. Fine.
Did she know that her baby boy would save our sons and daughters?
Yes. 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 She's giving birth to the Messiah, Taylor. Yes.
I don't know if she knows that. I'm going to say maybe because I don't think
angel comes to you and says you're getting pregnant by the Holy Spirit and you don't think this guy is going to save the world. Come on. Yes.
We have the context of 2000 years of Christianity. She had the context of
the angel in front of her, Taylor. Yes.
Other angels Hell came yes. in front of people and no. were like, hey, no. You're going to have no. a prophet. They didn't have this Hell understanding yes. that the angel never said that this baby was God, said the Son of God. There's a lot of sons of God in the Old Testament. I don't think she had a full understanding of redemptive suffering and redemptive theology. She was a child. Maybe. Okay.
She was a child. Okay. No, that's a hell yes for me. Whatever. You can vote maybe on that however me. You want.
Here's the line that a lot of people get really worked up about. And I'm here to tell you that you shouldn't. But you can't. I mean, you can if you want, but other people can't. Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new, that the child that you delivered will soon deliver you?
I mean, I'm going to say yes, just by circumstance. And none of her friends were getting pregnant by angels or being proclaimed that they were going to be pregnant by angels and then being impregnated by the Holy Spirit.
I bet a few of them use that excuse in the next few months. Hey, it worked for her. Let me try.
Listen, okay. I think that read the room, okay, as my teenagers say, like context clues, okay? I know that she was young, but life was different back then. You know, it wasn't abnormal for a teenager to be pregnant. So I'm going to say that yes.
Okay.
She read the room. I mean,
I'm going to say maybe leaning towards yes. Again, I don't think she fully understood redemption.
I don't think she could articulate it that way, but yes.
But I also do think that, like, I mean, she was a holy young Jewish woman. Like, she would have known, like, about the coming of Messiah. I just think what Jews at the time thought the Messiah was going to be is very different than the Jesus that we got. So it's a maybe, but leaning towards yes. But the thing on here, this line is the primary reason that I hear people hate this song. At least historically, I think the last year or two has been more of a, like, more moms hating it or more kind of like what we've been talking about, right? But like, people hate this because they think it's heresy, and it just simply isn't. They're like, oh,
I don't think it's heresy.
Because people, like, I see Catholics all the time. It was like, I've been on the Catholic internet for 10 years, and this was like the primary disagreement with this song of like, oh, she didn't need to be saved. She was perfectly holy. I'm like, guys, you know the difference between like Pope Francis in an encyclical and Pope Francis answering questions on a plane? Where like, he's not spitting heresy on a plane, but it's a little less clear what he means. It could be taken a couple of different ways. I feel like that's what this line is. Like, it's not wrong. It could be more clear because, like, how was Mary saved? How did the Immaculate Conception happen? It's because the, like, Jesus's redemptive suffering on the cross was just applied to her before she was conceived. So, like, it already happened and it is going to happen all right at the same time for her. So it's not right heresy. It's just confusing.
Well, yeah, I mean, but the whole song is.
Okay, here we go. We're gonna go through the last. Did she know that he would give sight to a blind man?
Well, no. Specifically, of course, no. She didn't know that.
Did she know that he will calm the storm with his hand?
If she knew it was possible. No, but
no. Has walked where angels trod.
Well, I mean, if you're giving birth to the Messiah, context clues again would tell you probably.
Yeah, I'm gonna do another maybe. Going towards a yes. That when you kiss your face, your little baby, you kiss the face of God. I'm going to say yes. Unequivocally no. She did not know this baby was God. She did not know that this was the second person of the Trinity. She just simply didn't. The angel didn't tell her. How could she possibly know? How could she know?
Because she...
There's how no can, way. How will we they just know? Read. It's like I know. That's exactly what I was playing up on.
How will they know?
We just read the story, everything that she told. Ultimately, here's what I'm tired of. I'm just tired of Christians putting, we've all been to mass for decades, if not, more. And we just keep putting our understanding of Catholicism, Christianity on these characters in the Bible, whether it's Mary in the stupid song or it's just anybody. And I'm just tired of it. Like, they didn't understand the same way that we do now.
But we're also not privy, Taylor, to what happened in the 9 months that she was pregnant. We don't know what was revealed to her. It's not shared in scripture. We don't know what conversations that she had in private moments and what she pondered. Like, I just believe that God, I think it would be silly of us to believe that he allowed her to be pregnant with Jesus and then did not prepare her heart to be able to give birth with the dignity that it was meant to be done. Yes, it was in a barn, but yeah,
a lot
she
of dignity
knew,
in that Hyatt barn.
but yet she knew that what she was giving birth to was revered and important, most important birth ever. I think that it's not, I just don't think it's possible for us to believe that he didn't also prepare her heart to be able to be ready to deliver Jesus. Like, I just find it impossible to believe that there were many things that happened, like read between the lines, that he didn't prepare her for that moment. And that, again, that 9 months, we are not privy to her inner thoughts or her conversations with God. It's not written in scripture, but my motherly instinct tells me that he prepared her well to give birth to his son. Because he is that kind of God.
And I agree with you partly on the like dignity part. Like, I 100% believe that like she knew that this was like she would have had some understanding of the Messiah and that the Messiah was going to come and save the Jews. Right. I think it's a fascinating question of when did Mary know that Jesus was God? And I just don't know the answer to it. And I don't think there isn't a definitive answer. So like, if you wanted to think that it happened that moment, and I want to think that it happened, my understanding has always been more like it was around the crucifixion, that like the whole pondering her things in her heart, I think continued for 33 years or whatever. Right. So
her it's whole just, life.
It's, yeah, exactly. It's just not definitive to me. And like, it's this like mom's intuition versus just like, I'm not saying you're irrational. I would never say that a mom is irrational. I'm just saying like, I'm using like the rational part of my brain. You're using the feelings part of your brain. And that might be why we're coming to this different conclusion.
Are you an ESTJ or an ESTP? I guess is what I should be asking you.
One of those two is definitely correct. more of the logical thinking. So for me, like ultimately it does come down to like, anytime I'm reading scripture, I just really don't fill in the lines all that much. So like, it never says that she realized that Jesus was God. So like, it could have been anytime.
I'll say this, as a Protestant, I only read the scriptures as written. Mm-hmm. As a Catholic, and after being introduced to Lectio Divina, that has allowed me to see scripture from different perspectives. So Lectio, for people that aren't familiar with it, you read the same scripture passage four different times. And as you read it, you begin to take different. So like in this particular situation, when you're hearing about how the angel Gabriel appears to her, in one reading, you may be focusing on Mary. In another, you may be focusing on the angel Gabriel. In another, you may be thinking like, I wonder what, the rest of her community was feeling. So I think Lectio gave me an opportunity to ponder what other people might be feeling or thinking. The scripture guides you, but your deepening of the love of scripture through Lectio allows you to see it from a different perspective instead of just Mary, which we always hear about. So I think the more that I've been Catholic, and I don't remember hearing this song as a Protestant, but as a Catholic, I remember thinking this is the most ridiculous song.
I figured
song
you played
I've
it
ever
at every Christmas
no,
service.
No, I don't ever. If we did, I don't remember anything. Like, people have always said, oh, well, did you change when you became Catholic? And I was like, I do not remember this song as a Protestant. But I remember hearing it as a Catholic thinking this is the most ridiculous song I've ever heard, because of course she knew. So I always felt like it was a rhetorical question. But That's what I always think of.
That's what you say, but you've answered no to a lot of these questions, Catherine.
Well, just because they're rhetorical doesn't mean the answer is always going to be yes.
It just means that's
my
point.
It just means that you know
yes and no multiple times.
It means that you know what the answer is going to be. I think overall, like if you look at the totality of the song and you look at the totality of Mary's knowledge of God, overarchingly, she knew.
Disagree. Okay. Last three questions. Did you know that your baby boy was the Lord of all creation? No.
Whatever. Keep going.
That your baby boy would one day rule the nations. Yes. The angel said that. Yes.
Yes.
He told her. Yes. That's the one thing he told her. that you're heaven's perfect lamb. No, we didn't get to the Lamb of God until Easter 30 years later. There's no mention of a lamb. And then the last one, the sleeping child you're holding is the great I am, is the best part of the song lyrically. I don't know how I get goosebumps every time I hear somebody hit the high note of this great I am part.
I do not share those feelings.
Okay. There's this guy named Jordan Smith. He's a Christian author, Christian artist. Yeah. He was like one of the best ever performances on The Voice. You know how they turn around their chairs or whatever? He ended up winning. He's incredible. He's become one of my favorite like Christian artists because he's still got this like Christian music sucks, but his doesn't, you know, he's kind of still like coming in from the like the secular side. He sings this song and boy, oh boy, he sings the stratosphere. Like he sounds like his range is so high that when everybody turned around, they thought it was a woman and it wasn't. It was this very large man and he's just incredible. I dare you. I double dog dare you to listen to the song and not feel something about God.
You know, for me, that song is when Pavarotti sings, Oh Holy Night. So Pavarotti, one of the three tenors, that's the one that does it for me. So okay, it's just okay. Not.
Of course that song is better. And of course Pavarotti's better. I'm not arguing. I would never argue with you that Mary Did You Know is a better song than that ever. I love that song. It's my favorite too. I'm just saying the hatred for top two. And it's definitely not two. I'm just saying that Mary Did You Know isn't as bad as people say. I'm not saying it's a top 10 Christmas song.
That would be like saying Elf is the top one movie. Like it's a wonderful
I hate Elf.
It's a Wonderful Life, 100%. That or White Christmas. But you're probably not going to hear me play the song just so that I can hear Jordan. I'm sure Jordan's version is beautiful. It doesn't do anything for me. Not a fan. Can I say this? I think no less of people who really love it. Like if they really love it and they play it every year and it's their top one, I think it's great. Like if this is the song that allows you to see Jesus in the manger and Mary is his mom even deeper, you go for it. That's just not going to be my song of choice. And I'm grateful that our church does not sing this song during the Christmas season. Praise the Lord. It's just, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a hymn at all. It's just a Christmas song with Christian themes or whatever. So I think the biggest takeaway for me from this conversation is the differing perspectives on when the song happened, going back to your Lectio Divina point. I think one of my favorite ways to pray is praying with scripture is Lectio Divina. And what happens a lot in Lectio Divina is these like private revelations that you can't prove they happen and I can't prove that they can't. What? Either way, right? They're private revelations, and if they help you pray and get closer to God, as long as they're not contradicting something, like me thinking this song happens, or that like any of my thoughts about Mary, because ultimately the song didn't matter, but like my thoughts about Mary and Marian theology matter, and so do yours, right? But like I can think that she knew the answer to some of these questions when she was later in her teens or in her 20s or even at the crucifixion. You can think that she knew it at the moment, like right at this moment. Like ultimately it doesn't matter. It's just fun and good theologically to ruminate on these things. And you hating the song and me liking it actually got me, like it was literally this week that I was like, oh, people hear this at a different time than I do. And like, it like opened my mind to see it in a different way, which I hadn't done. So I think it was helpful. You seemed defeated and angry, and we went way over 20 minutes.
I'm not defeated and angry. I'm just saying if you love it, that's awesome. And if I don't love it, that's also awesome. So to each their own. It's not a salvation issue. You should listen to the Christmas songs that allow you to feel the joy of the season. The end, I believe.
If you're not going to listen to Jordan sing this song, I do have homework for anybody that wants to be happy this Christmas season. The most joy in our house. Have you heard Dominic the Donkey?
Dominic the Donkey. No.
Top two Christmas song, and it's not two. Like, just incredible. Dominic the Donkey, I'll send to you right after this. Everybody needs to go on Spotify, listen to Dominic the Donkey. It is so stupid. It's about an Italian donkey that has to do with Christmas, like Lubega. It is unbelievably hilarious. And then the second one is Bob Dylan, who, like, used to be good at music, definitely was no longer good at music whenever... Have you heard his Christmas album?
I can't say that's been a top one.
Oh, my gosh. He can't get through a... He can't get through a note. It's unbelievably terrible and brings our family so much joy. We listen to it coming back from Advent Mass every week. We'll be listening to it over Christmas break. It's unbelievable. So no matter your thoughts about Mary, Did You Know, go listen to Bob Dylan's Christmas album. It is genuinely terrible and hilarious. It's a great experience because the music is so bad. And Dominic the Donkey might be the happiest I've ever been in my life.
Well, I'm going to give everyone homework that they should go listen to Pavarotti sing "Oh Holy Night." Google it on YouTube. It will change your life. Don't run it. You're an amazing singer, but he's better.
How dare you? I'm way better than Pavarotti.
He is. I tear up every time he hits the high note. That's the one that does.
Oh, I tear up every time Bob Dylan attempts the high note for different reasons. All right, I have to let you go. Merry Christmas, okay. Baby Jesus. Merry Christmas, Catherine Whitaker. I like how you responded as Baby Jesus. That made my day.
I said Merry Christmas, Taylor.
I know, as I was saying Merry Christmas to Baby Jesus.
Also him.
This is one of my favorite recordings we've ever done, not because of the content, but because you're facing a different way. And I got to see your family sneak around, and every single one of them looked surprised when they were on camera. It's going to be great video. All right. Merry Christmas, everybody. That's our Christmas episode. I want to thank Catherine. I want to thank Aaron and Father Anthony and Allison for being here, and for all of you for listening. We love you. We hope that you're having a great Christmas. Listen to whatever Christmas music you want. I'll be back next week. She'll be back in a month. See ya. Thank y'all for watching and listening to today's episode. Merry Christmas from all of us here. Thank you guys so much for spending time with us, not only today, but this year. If you liked it, please hit subscribe wherever you're watching or listening. Share it with a friend. We know that a lot of people are preparing for the new year and like, hey, we want to focus on our faith in the new year. So maybe you can share this podcast with them as something that they can do to, focus on their Catholicism and hopefully enjoy it along the way in the new year. Love you guys. We'll be back very soon. Bye.